Two new movies feature athletes at the end of their careers making one last attempt to get back in the arena. In Mr. 3000, the self-centered baseball ex-superstar, played by Bernie Mac, learns to think about the team. In Wimbledon, the unself-centered tennis non-starter, played by Paul Bettany, learns to think about himself and Kirsten Dunst. David Edelstein has this review.
We Americans like winners, which is why our sports movies end with fists pumping and crowds going nuts. But we also like warm, fuzzy life lessons, which is why our winners don't win because they're better and more ruthless athletes. They win because they're spiritually more evolved. This week, two very charming go-for-it sports pictures test the formula. Not enough to explode it. These are big studio movies. And did I mention that Americans like winners? But they add dissonances, sour notes that make the music a little sweeter. Mr. 3000 is a surprisingly laid-back and even morose comedy about an arrogant SOB who gets his comeuppance. Stan Ross, played by Bernie Mac, is a winner in part because he puts his numbers ahead of the team. When this jerk gets his 3,000th hit, he promptly announces his retirement in the middle of a pennant race. The movie stretches credulity by imagining a player could do that and not be run out of town. But Stan gets forgiven much, except by the sports writers who elect the members of the Baseball Hall of Fame. And then 9 years later comes the news that his best claim to inclusion, those 3,000 hits that put him in the company of the immortals, is based on a counting error. Three hits short, the pudgy 47-year-old goes back into baseball, and the last-place Milwaukee Brewers welcome him because he's their best chance to fill the stadium. Here's the cocky ex-superstar reporting to the trainer. You have to imagine the look of panic on Bernie Mac's face in the middle of his first push-up.
How many push-ups can you do?
One arm or two. Well, I'll tell you what, man. Last time I counted, man, what was it, about 40, 50?
Mm-hmm. I got $5 in my pocket. Says you can't give me 10.
That's easy money. Back up, man.
Bogey, you better help your boy down.
He didn't help me in.
Okay, well, that's one.
How many is that?
Oh, I don't know. I'd say 40, 50.
That's four. Come on, Stan. You got this, man.
Ho, ho, ho. Your knee touch, man. That's a girl push-up. That don't count.
You see my knee touch, Boca?
Who said girl push-ups don't count?
Yeah, who said girl push-ups don't count?
Bernie Mac is a great comic presence because he projects something lordly and arrogant, and yet those eyes, which never seem to blink, flash panic as they scan the crowd for signs of approval. His prickliness tells you his confidence is a little dicey. Mr. 3000 is about Stan's realization that the enemy is his own ego, a painful lesson, and one that doesn't end on the high note we're expecting. The movie, directed by Charles Stone III, who made the low-budget winner Drumline, doesn't have the high-energy raunch that Max fans might hope for, and there's some formula swill mixed in. But to see the hero repeatedly taunted by a giant sausage, that's the team's mascot, it's a macho deflation you can savor. Wimbledon's hero needs to be more, not less macho. He's a fair Englishman, Peter Colt, played by Paul Bettany of Master and Commander. Peter is a one-time 11th-ranked English tennis star who just never rose to the championship. Maybe it was because he's rich, and his father always said that tennis was a gentleman's sport. Peter doesn't have any drive whatsoever until he meets a haughty American tennis star, Lizzie Bradbury, played by Kirsten Dunst, who puts winning ahead of everything. It's a strange thing, this movie. It's about an athlete who falls in love in the course of a tournament, and as a result of those warm and fuzzy new feelings, finds the killer instinct to obliterate his opponents. He even obliterates his best friend, who says admiringly, "You hit from the soul, the heart. Something's happened to you." So all you coaches and managers out there, to make your players kill, get them to fall in love. Wimbledon is a bit of a philosophical muddle, but the climactic tennis scenes are galvanically convincing, with some long and nerve-wracking volleys, and the rest of it works as Notting Hill with balls and rackets. The Englishman gets to bat his eyes and deliver farcical lies very badly, and the American female celebrity is tantalizing and elusive, just like America to the Brits. The best thing about it is the pale and gangly Bettany, who's high-strung in a way that women will find madly attractive and men madly agreeable. Above all, we Americans like our winners winning.
David Edelstein is film critic for the online magazine Slate.